welcome this morning. You can remain seated for just a moment. We are stepping into the end of a series. If you've been with us for a while now, you know we've been in 1 Peter for about 4 months. And every now and then at the end of a series like this, we like to stop and just take a moment to respond. This series, I think especially, has been challenging in so many ways in terms of what it looks like to live out our faith as what we have deemed and what Peter would call holy exiles. That we're in this world, but not of this world. Our home awaits us. What does it look like to live out our life faithfully, regardless of what life seems to throw at us? So this morning, as we gather kind of at the end, a little bit of different service for us. We'll worship throughout. We'll have kind of the message spread across. So those of you who are, really wanting all those fill-ins, you'll have to pay attention because they come and go. And we'll take the Lord's Supper together today. I just want to encourage us, though, as we begin to really lean in to today, that we would lean in to what the Lord would have us, we would be encouraged, that as we sing our praises to him, as we give our offering, as we take the Lord's Supper, that we would do these things with him in mind, that we would do these things with what we've been challenged with over the last few months, and that we would leave today encouraged, that we would leave today having encountered him. This wouldn't just be a regular routine thing for us where we just walk in and sit through a service passively and leave, but we'd be intent today to see what he has for us. I'd like to read from 1 Peter chapter 1. And actually, will you just stand with me while I read? 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, Peter says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This is the inheritance kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Church, as we gather this weekend, we live as holy exiles. If Jesus is your Savior, if you have found forgiveness in him, we live and gather this weekend as holy exiles. And we have learned and see even in here that as hopeful, holy exiles, we praise God for the hope that we have in Christ. That we don't just gather without hope this morning, that our hope is in him. He is sufficient. His sacrifice for us is enough. So let me pray over us as we begin. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for its challenge to us. I pray that even as we gather here this weekend, as we sing and lift our voices in praise, as we give of tithes and offerings, as we stop and reflect on the Lord's Supper, Father, would we be encouraged, challenged, changed? Would we leave this place this morning having encountered you in every way? And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, churches, Jody read, may our faith be proven genuine today by our praise. As we recognize what God has done for us, the living hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Come on, let's sing together. Let's lift our voices this morning.
How great the desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name.
Let's sing it together.
Oh, I praise in the valley, praise on the mountain, and I praise when I'm sure, and praise when I'm doubting, and I praise when I'm numb, praise when surrounded.
This morning, and the fact that we get to lift our voices and sing praises to God, and we get to study His scriptures and fellowship, and all of this is worship to God. And the fact that we get this opportunity, let's not take this for granted, church. Let's join together in a word of prayer as we receive our offering. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. It's because of your provision we can be here. And God, as we're here, use these acts of obedience, use this evaluative heart to grow your kingdom. God, allow us to this fellowship to be a blessing to you, to see your sons and daughters continuing to meet, reflecting on your goodness and your grace, allowing the authority of the word to sit in our lives and transform us from the inside out.
Continue, Lord, to transform us into the image of the Son as we grow in our faith, as we reach the unchurched world in our lives. And Lord, for the hearts that came prepared to give today, may you use this offering to bless your name and grow your kingdom. Lord, it's in your Son's beautiful name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Hey, good morning, church. How we doing? Hey, it's good to see you. Take a second before you sit down and greet your neighbor. Happy Cinco de Mayo. All right. I love it. We're in the house this morning, and we couldn't be more happy that you're here with us. If, as you notice, the ushers and greeters are going to be dropping these buckets. This is how we receive offering. This is how we as a church continue to give to God out of the abundance and the obedience and the sacrifice that he's given to us. If you're visiting or you're a guest or you finally accepted that invitation to worship with us this weekend, there's no expectation that you would give. However, the Bible tells us that God loves a cheerful giver. And then when we give, we reflect God's grace and goodness in the world. So we're giving in this time, but we also want to let you know a few things. You might be wondering, Mikey, did you notice that there's a refresca in your hand? Yes, I did. We are giving these away today after church. We want you to grab one on the way out. We want you to fellowship. We want you to linger. Just hang around. I want to give you permission to just have a nice drink and have a fellowship and have a time of fellowship and a good conversation, and it be a blessing to the people around you. So we want to do that. And as we started today's response service, you noticed that we started a little different. Pastor Jody's out here. He's reminding us that as people with an understanding and an identity in Christ, we could praise God for all the work that he's done. And then we're going to continue in this service. We've been reading and studying the book of 1 Peter chapter by chapter. And we've been understanding what Peter meant to write the first century church and what we're learning on. This weekend, we can respond in. We can allow the authority of the word to just live in our lives as we continue to impact the world that doesn't yet know God. So we hope that today's response service is a blessing to you, that you would just sit and receive. And this time is reserved that we would let you know what's going on here at HDC. We have a few things coming up we want you to put on your calendars and use as a resource to engage with us as a church or to let people in your world know what's going on. We have HDCU coming up in a couple weekends. We want you to be prepared for it. We're learning about the theology of man, which is anthropology, and a martyrology of sin. We want you to be prepared biblically to apply it to your lives and allow it to change your world. We're also giving classes like how to build a godly step family. One of our own, Reggie, he's on staff and students. He's going to be teaching us through that class. Join us by texting you to 64567 to get more information. We also have Summer Blast coming up, and if you're a parent of someone, of a child from kinder all through sixth grade, let me hear you make some noise real quick. Amen. Amen. Those proud parents are able to make noise because they're in kids' programming right now, right? Right? It's a lot of fun. Summer Blast is happening. It's like a day camp type of structure. We do these things so that your kids can also have a platform to stand on and invite their unbelieving world to experience church with them. Text BLAST to 64567 for more info on that and to register them. It's going to be a fun time. We want you guys to know about it. And as we continue in our 1 Peter series, if you're just joining us or you hit a few of them, Pastor Todd gave us this awesome recap last week that we're gonna view in a minute. But before we do, I want us to just remember and sit in this response service and realize the work that God's been doing in our hearts and in our worlds in between time. But we're going to watch this recap, and I want you to join me in welcoming Pastor Mike Roberts to the stage.
This book has had so much to say, so many powerful themes. Instruction like, we are elect exiles who are in the world but not of it. We have a living hope and inheritance that awaits us in our homeland. We're called to be holy as God is holy. We're to love one another deeply. Jesus is the cornerstone upon which his church is built. We are a chosen people who declare the praises of our God, who called us out of darkness and into his glorious light. We are to live exemplary lives in the face of suffering. We are to submit to governing authorities because God is in control of who is in control. We're to submit to those in positions of daily leadership over us because God is in control of who is in control. Wives are called to submit to their husbands' leadership because God is in control of who is in control. Husbands are called to love and respect their wives. We are to follow Jesus's example when we suffer for following him. We are to be prepared to share why we have the hope we have in the face of suffering. We're done with living in the ignorance and debauchery of our old lives. We need to be alert and sober-minded so we can continue in prayer. We're to employ the gifts that God gave us to bless others around us. We're not surprised when suffering comes our way. We have the Holy Spirit as a source of comfort and encouragement. Judgment may begin with the people of God, but it will extend to those who have not obeyed the gospel. We're to put ourselves on deposit with our faithful Creator. Elders are to lead as servant shepherds. We're to submit to the elders that lead Jesus's church because God is in control of who is in control. We're to allow God to humble us so that he can raise us up at the right time. We're to resist our enemy, the devil, who is on the prowl. We're to await God's strengthening and realignment after we've suffered for a season. To him be power forever and ever. Amen. That is the book of 1 Peter. The very last words written, peace to all of you who are in Christ.
Peace. Peace to all of you who are in Christ Jesus. I want you to think about that with me for just a minute. I want to talk about a word that has fallen out of use in the church world. It's a word, an English word that we still use from time to time. Like, you know, when you travel into Mexico and you want to take your dollars and get pesos, you do something, you convert them. You convert them. There's a conversion that happens. We used to talk about conversion all the time. The church has fallen out of use. And the reason why it's fallen out of use is because people have this idea that to convert somebody is wrong. In other words, somebody grew up in a certain system of belief, their family believes this, and so to go into them and say, you know, that's not quite right. You need to change, you need to convert. And it seems like our culture that we're living in looks at conversion like it's an evil thing, like it's morally reprehensible. And so we've kind of fallen off of using that term. But I want you to understand, it's a biblical term. In fact, the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 18, unless you convert and become like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. The idea of conversion is this idea of change, that we were going this direction and now we converted, we changed, we're going in a new direction. The Apostle Peter spoke of this in his letter in 1 Peter chapter 2, and he says this. He said in verse 9 of chapter 2, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. In these words, he's talking about this conversion, this change. See, our problem with this word is that we think it's a human thing, that one human tries to convert another human. But in biblical terms, the only person that can convert another person is God himself. That when God enters a person's life and he brings them to an understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that person admits that they're a sinner, that they're lost without him, they believe in their heart that Jesus is the only one that can save them, and they choose to put their faith in him, then that means that God changes them. He converts them. They once were darkness, now they are light. They once weren't God's people, but now they are God's people because God converts them. He changes them. And if you are a follower of Jesus, it means you are something brand new. The Apostle Paul said it this way, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. That's conversion. That's what Peter is speaking of. And when you think about it, it doesn't make sense in the 2,000 years ago in the Middle East for anyone to change so radically. to somehow believe in this person who was executed publicly as a criminal and then rose from the dead. Nobody has ever claimed to serve a resurrected Savior. Only followers of Jesus. And people who don't believe that think those people are crazy. In fact, the Apostle Paul spent the first part of his career executing people who believed in Jesus. But man, when God comes into your life and he brings you to an understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ and that you need to respond to that, he changes you. He converts you. And see, the thing is that we get this idea in our modern time that somehow it's about us trying a new religion. Or you know, I think, oh, I've converted now. You know, I once was a Roman Catholic, now I'm an evangelical Christian. Or I once was a Mormon, now I'm an evangelical Christian. Or whatever it is. And it's all about, you know, I'm just trying this new thing and I'm trying to be a better person and I think that's a better way of doing it. No, that's not conversion. That's a human just trying to be religious and somehow earn their way to God. But here's the thing, you can't earn your way to God on your own effort. You need God to change you. You need God to save you, to deliver you, to rescue you. And so as Peter is writing to these folks, he says, listen, God has changed you. You are a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You are God's special possession. God called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now live as changed people. Live as changed people. So my question to you this morning is, has God changed you? Has he given you life? Has he given you a whole new identity? Because if you're filling in blanks, if we are those hopeful exiles that Peter's writing to, then we are gonna be rooted. We're gonna root ourselves in our identity in Christ. So there's a question for you. Has God changed you? And if he's changed you, if you are a new creation, what identity are you living out of? For the most part, people usually live out of identity of family or of a particular culture, or maybe they live out of an identity of their achievements, their accomplishments, of their wealth or their poverty, of their failures or their victories. We tend to live out of an identity that's based on things in this world. And if you are a new creation in Christ, then you are to base your identity, you're to root your identity in the person and the work of Jesus Christ, because you are now a victor in Christ. You are now a child of God because of Christ, because you have been changed. And so let me just urge you, brothers and sisters, if you are an elect exile, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, God has changed your life. Now live out of that new identity. You are no longer a slave, you are free. You are no longer a sinner, you are a saint. Let's live out of that identity. Doesn't mean we do it perfectly all the time, but it means we have a brand new way of seeing ourselves and the world. Because we are new creations. Amen?
Amen?
And so today as a church, we gather. Yeah, you can applaud. It's a good thing. I don't know where I would be if God hadn't converted me. But here's the thing. We're going to gather today and we're going to remember what God has done through us, through Jesus, as we celebrate communion. And so in just a moment, our ushers are gonna begin passing plates. And the way that works is there are two cups in each slot. One has bread on the bottom, the other has juice on top. Just make sure you grab both of those as it passes down the aisle. If you need some gluten-free elements, those are right in the middle of the tray. They're labeled, so it'll be pretty obvious which ones are those. But do me a favor, as those trays begin to pass and you grab yours, just take a minute and just reflect quietly. Band's gonna be coming out, they're gonna start playing. And once those elements are distributed, you can feel free to stand and join in singing. But just take a moment and reflect on what God has done for you through Christ and the fact that you are a new creation in him. Amen?
Thank you.
Together, sing What Can Wash.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Would you please be seated? Peter knew what he was talking about when he wrote this letter, and he talked about being something new. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, Jesus came to wash the disciples' feet, but Peter was so full of pride, he said, "Lord, not me. Not me." Later on, during that supper, Jesus told the disciples, "You're all going to abandon me." Peter, full of pride, said, "Not me. Not me." Later on that night, Peter three times denied that he even knew the Lord Jesus. But then fast forward, after the resurrection, after Peter had met with the risen Lord and he had restored the relationship, Peter received the Holy Spirit. You see, before the coming at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, Peter was doing his best to follow Jesus, but he didn't have the power to do it. He hadn't been converted. He hadn't been changed. And when the Holy Spirit came on him, he was full of confidence and boldness, and he began to tell other people the good news of Jesus Christ, and he saw people converted. He saw God change people's lives. And I wonder if every time Peter took communion, he remembered back to the night. You see, on that night, they weren't celebrating the Lord's Supper, what we call communion. They were celebrating what they called Passover. It was that time of year for the Jews to remember all the way back to the time of Moses, the time in Egypt, when they were exiles. They were in captivity in Egypt, slaves. And God delivered them. Remember the story that the last plague was the firstborn in every household would die unless they put the blood of a lamb over their door, and then the angel of death would pass over that house. That's what they were celebrating that night. And it was in the middle of that celebration that Jesus took bread. He broke it and he blessed it. He said, "Guys, this isn't about a lamb. This is about the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And this is now to be remembered as my body broken for you." So let's remember the Lord as we eat. In that that Passover supper, at the end of that supper, each cup taken during that time is named, and the last one is named the cup of redemption. And as Jesus brought that supper to a conclusion, he held up that cup of redemption, and he said, "This is now to be remembered as the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the forgiveness of sins." So every time we drink this cup, we remember that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Let's remember him together as we drink. Every time you eat this bread, you drink this cup, you're proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. My brothers and sisters, we're not home. This place is not our home. We are looking forward to the return of Jesus when he takes us to our true and rightful home. And again, not because of anything we've done, but because he's merciful and gracious and has given us a new identity in Christ. And so let me urge you, let's live as God's special people, a new creation. Amen? Amen. 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 Well, I want to invite Pastor Mikey back to the stage because we thought about this long and hard, and we believe that a good illustration, a good example, a personal testimony is probably the next best thing we could learn to drive this home.
You know, we hope that this response service, again, just a different flow of service, a different weekend, that we can take time and we can pause and we can reflect. And this response service is designed that we would, in fact, respond, but not just here in this room, and not when we come on the weekends, but we would respond in our homes. We would respond at our workplaces, in our schools, on our campuses, in our neighborhoods, with this new understanding. And the fact that Pastor Mike just tells us and walks us through this understanding of conversion, and we're told our new identity, and then being told our new identity, we would live in it. We wouldn't just be told it, we would live in it. And as we do so, it would inform how we pursue the unbelieving world that we live in and how we would impact them. One of the things that we got to travel through for about 5 or 6 weeks through this last 14 was the concept of suffering. And man, if you guys are anything like myself or my wife in our small group or the people that we do life with, man, we are close to suffering. A lot of us, whether that's suffering relationally, whether that's this understanding of we suffer in life because we're Christians. It reminds me of 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. It says this, "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is finished with sin." Now, this understanding of finished with sin simply means that it doesn't mean that you'll stop sinning now that you're in Christ. It means that now we get to acknowledge and recognize the fact that Christ died for our sins, making us finished with sin. We get to acknowledge the fact that Jesus died on a cross for our sins, that his blood was poured out for us, that we just shared in communion. We are finished with sin. Therefore, we need to arm ourselves with the same understanding. And church, let me tell you something right now. If you're sitting here thinking, yeah, man, I suffer. I commute to work and I drive the Cajon every Friday afternoon. You know, I suffer. You know, I got 30 minutes for lunch and I got to go to Chick-fil-A. That's suffering because you don't know if you're going to make it back on time. No, church, let me tell you something right now. As Christians, when we suffer, we're called and we're told that in our new identity, in our understanding, in our ability to praise God with Jesus as the cornerstone of our lives, we're called out of what we're living in, and we're called into this greater living. Be holy as I am holy, the book says. And also, we're supposed to be this spiritual household built up in order to offer sacrifices pleasing and acceptable to God. That's who we're called to be. And as we do, we will suffer. And as we recognize our suffering in our lives, we're called to allow this approach and this pursuit for life, this perspective to fully be embodied when we say we suffer for doing good. And man, we studied for 5 weeks on how, man, suffering is so real. And like I said, suffering can manifest itself in our lives in many different ways. Some of us with cancer diagnoses don't know the end of it. Some of us with relational trauma, hurts, habits, all these things that happen in our lives that we're suffering through as God is making us new every day, sanctifying us, being made new for a purpose. conforming us to the image of the Son. We need to remember that as hopeful exiles, we know that we have a hope in God and we can live as hopeful exiles when we remain on mission. We're committed to the mission amidst our suffering. In a couple weeks, I stood before all of you. I stood before all of you and I asked you to think about the things that the Holy Spirit's guiding you on in life, the times of suffering that you're going through. I asked you, if you have a story to give, if you have a story to tell, would you tell us? Would you email us? Would you call us? Well, some of you answered that call. You told us the stories that God is doing in your life through the power of the Holy Spirit, and he's bringing you through your suffering. We heard stories of infertility in families, and God blessed these people. We've heard stories of illness and God healing people. We've heard stories of relational reconciliation and unhindered worship to God, and it was a blessing. We heard a specific story that, man, we had to put in front of you. We had to put in front of you because, I told you guys this last response service that the book of Revelation informs us and tells us that we've overcome the power of this world by two things, the blood of the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ, and the word of our testimony. That's why I love that song, Praise, that we sang at the beginning of the service because, man, our praise is a weapon that we should be praising God in all we do. Romans 12 says that we should be living sacrifices, and as we are, that God would grow his kingdom through the story that he's given you. And in a minute, we're going to hear this story. And I want this verse from 1 Peter 4 to inform how we receive this story. Start to think about ours a little more. It's 4, verse 19. It says this. So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful creator and continue to do good. We see all the time in our world, whether believer or unbeliever, church or unchurched, suffering is happening. It's just we as Christians have this clear understanding now that as Christians, we suffer for a reason. Chapter 1 said that we go through these trials of many kinds to test the genuineness of your faith. How real is God to you? How real is God to the people in your world that don't even believe in him yet? It should be that much more real, and we should be encouraged to commit ourselves to him and to continue to do good. Listen to this story about our brother Jason Salcido. Allow it to be an encouragement to you. You know, to give you a little bit of background on his story, Jason, yeah, he's a heavy machine operator. And one day he was climbing on the side of a mountain while his unit actually fell over, tumbled over and over. He was thrown from the cab a couple hundred feet in the air. He lands, and a tire that weighs a couple hundred pounds landed 6 inches from his head. God chose to preserve his life, and as he did, he was given a paralytic prognosis, not even told if he'll ever walk again. However, amidst his physical therapy and his resourcing, he is staying on mission, much like many of you in your suffering. But let's hear from Jason a little more about his story and how God's been using him in his life and in his wife's life. So watch this video.
So we've been talking about elect exiles. Exiles are people who aren't home.
Yes. Yeah.
Tell me about that.
So, I've been in the hospital now almost 9 months. And, hospital situation and setting isn't really healthy for anyone, even though you're getting better. But mentally, it's been a little overwhelming, been a little draining. I've never been to hospital before for 9 hours. So 9 months is definitely, it's starting to wear on me.
Yeah.
And I feel like I maybe hit a plateau. I need to get home. You get home with my family, and you get home to my Christian brothers and sisters, and I need to reconnect first and foremost with God and my family outside of this building. Yeah.
So what's God doing? What's giving you hope? What's getting you through this?
Just how far he's gotten me this far. I was 6 inches away from losing my life. It's a miracle that I'm even here. It's a miracle I could even move my arms because, when I first got in this accident, I couldn't even move my arms like this. I've gotten so much growth, physically and emotionally and spiritually. Like I mentioned earlier, it kind of feels like I plateaued. But I know that my best season is going to come in the next season, whatever that may hold. And what's getting me through is knowing that God's not done writing my story.
Yeah.
That I get an opportunity to share with you and with the people around me. All the men and women that I interact with every day, how good God is and what he's doing in my life, because even though we're not guaranteed tomorrow, I gotta embrace today and what he's done for me thus far.
Amen. And God even gave you an opportunity with a friend, right?
Yes, yeah. About a month ago, a good friend of mine, who was very worldly, he's been very worldly for, his whole life. Over the past couple of months, he came and visited me and said, man, I can't believe how you're still, being the new Jason, the godly Jason that I know, the Christian Jason. And he's like, if it works for you, man, there's got to be some truth to it because you're still walking the walk and talking the talk. I want what you have. And right across, on this table right here, I was able to bring my friend Cullen to Christ, and I gave him the ABC prayer that we often hear, when we do an altar call.
Yeah.
And I was able to do that, and all glory to God. And, I'm just happy to see that God's still working through me, even though sometimes I might not see it myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, thanks for sharing.
Thank you, brother.
So that's a blessing in itself. And like I said, it took, the past 4 years of me planting the seed with this guy, and God watered it, and it came to fruition right here.
Yeah. Praise God. Praise God.
Well, let's pray.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, thank you for today. God, we're grateful for your goodness and your provision in our lives. Thank you for preserving the life of our brother Jason, and thank you that he can recognize the fact that he is suffering for doing good. God, I pray for protection over his family, he and his wife, and the figures they are to all the people in their world. I pray that this time would be an encouragement. I pray that this would encourage others that are watching and listening. And the God of all grace, who called you into his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while with himself, will restore you to him and make you strong and firm and steadfast. To him be the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brothers.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me as we're going to reflect on what we've just heard? Some of you may feel like you're in a kind of an exile moment right now. What God might be doing in your life, and where to turn. But one thing that we can believe, one thing that we can truly stand on, is that God is at work even through difficult circumstances. He's at work even though things may not feel great right now. We have to trust God as our shepherd. And I want to read Psalm 23, and I want to invite you to read with me out loud as we recognize the way that God orchestrates our lives through this. So Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. This time we're going to introduce you to a brand new song that is a simple chorus. It says, he has good plans for me. And all of the verses around that chorus are based on Psalm 23. And this idea that even though we may walk through the valleys, even though we are dealing with difficulty, he has good plans, and that we can trust him in any circumstance. But this song starts off with the doxology. And so we want to invite you to sing that with us. If you know it, sing it nice and loud as we recognize God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
He has good plans. and all who've gone before us, and all who will believe, will sing the song of ages to the Lamb.
Sing your name.
Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above.
And the God of all grace that called you into his eternal glory in Christ will himself restore you, strengthen you, make you firm and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen, church?
Amen. Amen. Join me in prayer as we commit this time to God. Heavenly Father, take this time. Make this time useful in the lives of our brothers and sisters in this room and beyond. That we would be a people known for having an understanding of our identity in you. To have this hope be what stirs up in us to reach the unbelieving world, to live this way, to know that suffering's coming, but you're never gonna leave us and you're never without us. God, we want to just pray to you right now that as we commit this time to you, we would sit under the authority of the word and allow that to just be at work in our hearts as we continue to stay committed to this mission, to love the lost like you did, to reach them like you reached us, and be committed to this time. God, we just pray right now that you would use this in the homes, in the neighborhoods, in the workplaces, and in the schools, that you would go before us. And as we recognize you in all things, God, you would bless us with humility, that you would humble us in order that you would exalt us at the right time. And God, this would be something that we continue to live by and reach the unbelieving world. God, we commit this time to you and we love you. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen, church. Give God some praise. Amen. Hey, listen, I know that we're standing in worship and we're having this beautiful time. But for you type A's out there that know we have one more fill in the blank, we want to let you guys know and remind you that hopeful exiles anticipate that glory awaits. Amen? All right, that's for your last fill in the blank. A couple things. We have something for you today. If you're here and you need prayer, come down front. We want to pray with you. We want to pray for the things going on in your life. If you're a parent of a student, we got students, guys, that cannot wait to meet you and invite your students to our programming on the weeks. And if you are those hopeful exiles that are thirsty, a refresca awaits you on the way out. Guys, we have drinks for you guys. Fellowship, stick around and be an encouragement to somebody else, man. Fellowship today. We love you guys. Go in peace. Have a good one.